All right, welcome back to another week of This Week on Channel 9. Dan actually can't join us this week. He's down at the Game Developers Conference, so he lucked a trip down there. Actually, in the studio today, we have Ed Keim, who's our guest host for today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Thanks for being here.
For those of you watching, I am sorry the episode where Brian and Dan finally kiss will not be shown tonight.
Yes, so stay tuned later on in the season.
We do have some good news, though.
What's that?
Well, I want you to start with the good news.
Oh, you mean the actual news.
Purpose of the show, baby.
Exactly. So this week, big announcement for students. Students can now get free Microsoft software through an initiative called DreamSpark. Bill Gates announced this earlier this week. You can get Visual Studio 2005, 2008, Microsoft Expression, SQL Developer Edition, Windows Server 2003. I can imagine Windows Server 2008 would probably be coming to that offering set as well. Now, there are a couple of caveats. It's not yet available to every country. They're working on that. And they're also working on making this available to high school students in the future as well. But this is big news. This is really cool.
This is huge, Brian. When I was in college, I would love to have this. At the time, I did a lot of development, and I started my first company out of my dorm room. Mm-hmm. And one of the big challenges that I had was having the right tools to learn on and to get started with. And these tools are available under a non-commercial license. So you're able to get them, use them, as long as you're a student that's certified based on the information on the website. And then once you get the tools, you can use them however you want, provided it's non-commercial. But the great thing about Microsoft, and I think what's being done here, is that the transition into getting tools for commercial use is actually very easy through a program called the ISV Empower program.
Right.
And that's now folded into the full Microsoft Partner program. And that's great because for, I believe it's $375 in the US, and there's different rates overseas for different countries, you then get basically all the software you need to outfit up to like a 5-person team of developers, including like an MSDM premium subscription, mm-hmm. A license for like SQL and Exchange and SharePoint and Windows.
You get Team Foundation Server.
TFS, I believe, right. is in there. You yep. get a license, you get 5 desktop licenses for Vista and Office. It's just awesome because that's the bootstrap you need. You know, you learn with DreamSpark, you get into ISV Empower as part of that overall partner program, and then from there you go become a certified partner or mm-hmm. a gold certified, and it's really just, in terms of student developers and people that want to be entrepreneurs and start businesses, this is just awesome. So I think I really encourage anybody to get out there. And as I recall, even the big man's behind it. I believe we had a chance to have our
That's right.
very own friend over at Channel 8, Max Zuckerman, sat down with Bill and talked a bit about this.
That's right. So let's actually roll a clip. I think this is Max asking Bill if he was 17 again, what kind of business he would get into. So yeah. let's roll the clip.
Well, I think some type of software company is definitely the place to be because you don't need a big factory, you don't need a huge marketing budget. You know, there's nothing more fun than thinking about software, whether it's software for the poor, where there's a lot more that we need to be done, software to make jobs more interesting, software to help people design things in new ways. You can think about the sciences today. They're really driven by software. In biology, you have so much information. It's really software people who are going to help people organize that information and find patterns. Sure. And so biology needs software. Astronomy needs software. And so the breadth of what you can do with today's hardware, today's platforms, you know, I wish it had all been around when I was a student.
Well, Bill went with software again. I think the expert analyst probably would have predicted that. It worked out pretty well for him the first time. Who's to say it wouldn't work? Plus, he's got that name recognition.
Right,
so.
Right. He has, I think he says this routinely. He has lots of experience with Microsoft Office, and he's very employable. So I think this could go well for him. So we'll see.
And I got to wonder, you know, do you think he might go the game route this time?
I don't know. That's a good question. What would Bill do?
Yeah, I think he might. I mean, XNA is really taken off, and there's a lot of new stuff coming out this week, right?
You know, that is a great segue into our next story, which is about a lot of big announcements coming out of GDC this week around XNA. So we've been hearing for a long time that XNA wants to provide a path for hobbyists and student game developers to create games and then share them with the world via Xbox Live. And we don't have all the details yet, but they've come out with a lot of other announcements talking about how that becomes a reality. So the way this works is you develop your game on XNA, the XNA framework. You test and deploy that against your Xbox, and then you can upload that to an area of Xbox Live called the XNA Live Community Games. These games go into the system, and they get peer-reviewed by other Xbox Live community game members, and they basically rate your game and help make sure that your content is appropriate for a mass audience, and assuming that it is, then your game can actually make its way onto Xbox Live Arcade for the masses, so that's really cool.
Are people going to be able to make money off this? I mean, can I sell my games if I'm making them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And they haven't announced a lot of details around the pricing. They've said that they'll be making some announcements later this year about how you can get paid for your game. Or actually, they haven't said whether or not definitively you can get paid. But they said they'll be making some announcements later this year. So I don't personally know, but we'll find out a little bit later. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Business opportunities out there.
Yep. And the next big announcement that came out of the Game Developers Conference is the ability to use the XNA framework to build games for Zune devices. So this isn't available yet, but it will be available with the XNA Game Studio 3.0. A preview release of that coming out a little bit later this year as well. So that's really exciting.
That's awesome. I mean, I can't wait to play Zune games. I hope they make Mule. They got to bring Mule back.
Old-time classics,
That is going to be the Zune game of the year. Yep. I guarantee it.
And you used to do some development on .NET Compact Framework,
you know,
right?
It's actually amazing. The idea of having games on the Zune might seem crazy to people, but the reality is these devices are incredibly capable these days. I mean, back in 2001, I guess it was, we were working on getting the Compact Framework on smartphones, mm-hmm. and we had like 8 megs of RAM to work with. Like, just
total.
That's it.
Yep.
And that's your storage space. That's the memory runtime. And there were lots of cool innovations that came in, such as XIP, so you could execute stuff in place, and things with improving the way the CLR handled the management of code and jitted code and all mm-hmm. that. The Zune, I mean, it's really a kind of a no-brainer at this point that you would take CLR and the derivatives of the .NET framework mm-hmm. and deliver this as a platform, because you get all the great tool support and everything else that Microsoft's been building for 20 years.
With Visual Studio, right?
Yeah, and now mm-hmm. I can sit down and I can just write these games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know yet what the model's going to be for selling the games or deploying them or stuff, but I'm sure there's a lot of smart folks that are really thinking about that right now.
Sure. They said that you don't even need to be a member of the XNA, the paid section of the XNA community to deploy to your Zune. So you'll just be able to take Visual Studio, hook that up to Zune and push that over to your Zune device. So there's a lot of promise there. And the model they're taking is similar to the relationship between the .NET Compact Framework and the .NET Framework, where it's not the complete XNA framework, but it's a rich subset of the XNA framework.
Now, this Zune stuff, this is like, is this way distant future? I mean, is there going to be anything realistic about this anytime soon? I mean, I'll wait until I see like a prototype.
Right.
If you can show me somebody that has a working game, I'll be impressed. But until I see something.
I'm glad you asked, because we actually have a
you're
video.
You're not going to embarrass me, are you?
So Dan Fernandez, down at GDC, he snapped a video for us. So let's take a look at a game that's running
at the boondoggle.
Exactly.
Shareholders.
Running on a Zune device.
Yes! Sweet! What do you mean the princess is in another castle? F*** does that mean? F*** it!
Oops, I guess we got the wrong video there.
I was just kidding when I said boondoggle, but I guess he knows how to go on the road.
He sure does. Do we have the right clip? Rob, can you run that the correct clip of Dan down at the GDC keynote from earlier this week?
So we go to the games, and you'll see a few games come up, including Zari, the game you were just looking at. Now, one thing you won't get from this demo, this is a great gaming device. Like, when you see the graphics, you hear the audio, but it's a control input that's amazing. Like, if you just want to see somebody smile, and they're a gamer, put this in their hands, and after 10 seconds, they're like, oh man, this is great. So I just want to show you what it looks like. So it's got the same shoot 'em up that we were showing on Windows and Xbox.
So there you have it. I mean, it's pretty performant.
I stand corrected.
Right. So it'll be really exciting to see XNA Game Studio 3.0 preview coming out later this spring.
Can't wait.
So another piece of XNA news that's coming out is they announced that the XNA framework will now be capable for producing games that take advantage of some of the Xbox Live capabilities, like achievements, and what else do we have here? Game invites, friend status. And there's a lot of speculation amongst the community that this will now allow hobbyists and students to write games that have achievements and game invites and things like that. So I was curious about that, and I called up my friend David Weller, who's a product manager over in the XNA team, and he said that the story got twisted around a little bit. Basically, the way that professional games get built for the Xbox 360 is there's a there's basically a membership program that you join. You purchase an Xbox developer kit. You get rights to use what's called PartnerNet, which is kind of a test version of Xbox Live. And now what this announcement really is, it's letting those developers use the XNA framework to build games, professional games that get published on the Xbox 360 that take advantage of achievements and everything else. So it's not like just anybody could now go out and create an XNA framework based game that uses achievements, which would be cool, but I mean, there's legitimate reasons for why you wouldn't want to do that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it would. I mean, if you just had anybody be able to create a game that had achievements, then you have the potential that could
get
abused.
You don't want to water it down.
Exactly. I mean. And so, you know, you could just rack up your gamer score, which I would love, but then
yeah, I'd hate
it wouldn't
to see
mean anything.
Achievements be abused.
Yes.
I mean, that's the last thing you want to have happen.
Exactly. I mean, they really mean something today in the real world, and you just don't want to take that away, right?
Yeah. I do love some of the games, though. Some of the, you can see the bar difference in some of the Xbox games for achievements. Like, there was one game that I invited somebody to, and I got an achievement for it.
Nice.
It's congratulations. Like, congratulations. You found the A button. You were able to work the directional stick and then and invite someone to a game, and then...
But this news is really cool for professional game developers because this means they can use the XNA framework, the same tools that we would use to develop hobbyist games. They can use C# and write those games and get them out to market quicker. So that's very cool. So what's next?
So there's actually a big announcement this morning, just in time before we went to press, as it were, for Windows Live SkyDrive. They have launched, and by launching, it's kind of interesting in the web world. Launch just means you delete the word beta from your your service. I'm sure they updated the bits, and it's cool. Now you got things like 5 gigs of storage.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, 5 gigs!
5 gigs of storage, and that's anything. You know, no limitation on what you're going to put up there. Well, I take it back. I'm sure we could test the limitations of the kind of things we're allowed to store up there.
Sure,
but. Within reason, you can store just about anything up there file-wise. It's also available in 38 countries and regions around the world, which is a big, important thing because, as you can imagine, in kind of like the geopolitical climate of the world when it comes to worrying about sensitivity of issues, it takes a long time to get a service really enabled to the point where the legal folks feel okay with you deploying it out to other countries. So
right.
The fact that it's out there so broadly is great because that means you can now share stuff worldwide with lots of people. And it's free still. I mean, as far as I know, it's free for the foreseeable future. Now, putting on a little bit of speculation here, in the past, whenever we've seen stuff come out from Windows Live, it starts off as a good consumer feature, and then mm-hmm. they kind of get pulled in as part of a larger product thing, like when you take a look at the way Spaces has evolved. And that ultimately leads into an API set. Now, as far as I know, there's no API available today,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I'm gonna bet there's got to be an API in the works at some point.
And so, your company has done a lot of Windows Live development, so you've seen the trends.
We've done a lot of stuff, but we definitely wouldn't violate NDA in order to talk about anything. But even if I were willing to, I don't actually
know
anything. For a fact that there is anything coming.
Unpaid interns, us.
Yeah, and, yep. and I'm actually below
you're right
us
below
because
that.
I don't
yeah.
even count.
Yeah,
I'm here because I was the only guy in the hallway when Dan didn't show up.
What was your name again?
I don't even remember.
So that's great. That's really cool news.
Now, one thing I want to actually call out real quick is we reference Angus's blog. That's where we found this stuff. Angus mm-hmm. Logan, who I believe he probably ranks higher than us on the unpaid interns.
He's right above unpaid interns.
Is he?
Right.
He's unpaid full-time, I think.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, if you can crack the accent, he's got lots of good information, and the best place to get it out of him actually is through his blog because there is no accent on the writing he does. It's pretty straightforward to understand. So I recommend anybody who wants to do any kind of live development, you know, get out their Windows Live stuff. That's the place to go to get data, as far as I'm concerned.
Great, great. So speaking of great blogs, definitely check out Gert Draper's. He's kind of one of the main engineers behind Visual Studio 2008 Team Edition for database professionals, which is why we abbreviate it as Data Dude or DB Pro. It's
yes.
a pretty long name there. And Gert this past week talked about the release of the Team Edition Power Tools. So there were some Power Tools for DB Pro originally that were available for the 2005 release. Now the 2008 version of those Power Tools is available. They provide all of the same functionality you got in 2005. That included custom data generators for generating regex-based data, XML-based data. There's also a new data generator for pulling data out of a set of flat files. There's also a data generation wizard that you can point it at an existing database and say, help me generate data that resembles the data in this other database. You can also use the new T-SQL static analysis from the command line, which means that you can instrument that into your continuous integration builds, for example. So if you haven't checked out the DB Pro Power Tools, go get the latest version. It works with 2008 and pretty impressive set of tools.
Yeah, it changes the game if you're working with data. I mean, the way it enables you to build applications that are data driven is pretty cool. I mean, the debugging process and just working through stuff is, you know, it's also free.
Yep. Well, assuming you have DB Pro, you can get the DB Pro Power Tools.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
But it's free. You can still download it even if you don't have the tools.
Well, no, that's true. All right. Splitting hairs here. All right. What else do we have?
So actually, that leads into some pretty cool stuff. So if you head out, you can actually see on John Skeet's blog, he's got the source code to visualize link expressions. Now, this is a tool a utility is working on. It's still in the works. I mean, he's very clear about the fact that it's not a final release, but it's very cool because what you can do is you can kind of add in code that shows a link expression, and then it will step through and go step by step through in a visual way in a nice Avalon app, or sorry, WPF app, as to exactly how it's being evaluated. And there's a lot of confusion for some developers who are new to Link because of the idea of deferred execution and other stuff that's going on. So this helps you really understand what your Link code is doing, and then of course that enables you to get, you know, your apps to market a lot faster, and just the debugging process and working through it, because Link is incredibly powerful, and if you want to take advantage of it, it's good to have great tools like this. And I'd love to see stuff like this get into Visual Studio.
Right. This seems like it would be really nice as both a learning tool to understand how Link works, but also as a visual debugger, as you pointed out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So very cool. Nice work,
John. I can't
wait
to see where it's going. That's going to be, way to go, John.
Nice. And we're coming to the picks of the week. So my pick of the week is actually a follow-on from last week's pick of the week. We talked about the error that can happen if you have solution files that were created with a beta version of Visual Studio 2008. And if you double-click from within those files, from within Explorer, if you double-click on those files, it doesn't always launch Visual Studio 2008 RTM correctly. So we challenged the viewing audience to come up with a solution that helps you automate the process of fixing all those solution files and making them open up in Visual Studio 2008. And I think it was no more than 24 hours, and we got a post to the Channel 9 forum. Yeah. This one actually came from William Stacy, and what I really like about this is that he just used PowerShell for this.
Yeah.
I didn't even think, I figured, you know, write a custom app, but this is a single line of PowerShell.
It's awesome. It really is. And then it was another line to back up.
Sure, which is nice. We probably should have put the backup step before the actual execution step,
yeah,
as opposed to an afterthought.
I'm sure we'd probably be able to do that. I think Notepad could help us out there.
Exactly. So nice work, William. Yeah. Way to go.
Really. And your 5 gigs of storage on is on its way. Just go
exactly
ahead out to live.com and sign up for it.
But only for you.
Yes.
So
tell your friends.
So, Ed, you get a pick
of
the week.
I get a pick of the week, even though I'm just here because I happen to be in the hallway. And my pick of the week, for those of you who have used this tool, would say, you know, that's not new, because, of course, it's definitely not new. But Nikhil Kothari has this incredibly cool tool. It's called ScriptSharp, and it's just a C# compiler that you add in. It gives you all the Visual Studio templates. It gives you great integration. He's actually at Microsoft in developer division, so you know the stuff that he knows what he's doing when it comes to the integration and building a great platform. And what he's basically done is to take C# as the concept. And when we think about C#, you think about the programming language. You think about, you kind of bundle in typically the class libraries from the .NET framework as part of that. You bundle in the developer tools,
IntelliSense,
all the experience, as well as the runtime. Well, if you take kind of like those four things, the language, the tools, the runtime, and the libraries, what he's done is he's basically pulled out everything except the runtime. He's taken the languages and the tools, and he's added in the JavaScript runtime. So think about just the DOM running inside a browser or inside even, and this should be important to add, JavaScript is used lots of places. So for example, Vista sidebar gadgets. I mean, that's JavaScript in itself, so you can build stuff for that. But the class libraries that are in place aren't CLR .NET framework ones. What they are is actually a series of libraries that are designed to compile down into JavaScript. So the entire thing, the output gives you just JavaScript files that you can then take, plug into your web application, and you can either call into them natively, or you can use them through C# as through a scriptlet on the server side. And at the end of the day, you write pure C-sharp code using Visual Studio, using IntelliSense. You get to reflect against these class libraries that understand what the window and the document DOM looks like inside browsers. It's friendly not only in IE, but of course Firefox. Mm-hmm. It's just the experience is incredible. And I've never really been a big client-side browser developer. And in about 3 weeks, I got to the point where I could build just about anything. And it's really amazing because it's changed the way our entire company builds web applications. Because
right.
now we do so much Ajax stuff and so much client-side stuff that just wasn't feasible before without tools like this. And another great thing is because you get all the IntelliSense support and all that other stuff, you also get things like, obviously, all the great first-class project support mm-hmm. from Visual Studio. You get access to things like TFS to make it easy to version stuff, and you can still check in JavaScript files, but working with a C# is just an incredible experience. And if we had a game ball, I'd give it to him. But at the end of the day, like, this is probably the coolest thing that I found in the last, like, since VS08 shipped, this is probably the biggest advance to my productivity.
Wow, that's awesome. And Nikhil's always coming up with some really cool stuff, so he's a great person to
and
add
I actually
to
forgot to mention, definitely, if you want to go out there and potentially invest in this stuff, Microsoft is heavily invested in ScriptSharp internally. A lot of the products that are coming out are using ScriptSharp. There's various groups inside Microsoft. I don't know exactly where the line is drawn as to what we could talk about, but at the end of the day, if you think about some of the server products that have, like, web access to them, odds are the next version is built almost entirely around ScriptSharp for the JavaScript development.
Wow.
So
very cool.
See Office Live stuff, you're going to see Windows Live stuff, you're going to see stuff out of, like, Exchange and all of that. So
great
investment to make.
Nice pick of the week, Ed. And I think that just about wraps it up. I just wanted to get one more shout out here to the fact that Mix is coming up in about a week and a half. So it sold out a couple days ago. So if you don't have your passes, unfortunately, you won't be able to go. But we will be putting all the sessions online at sessions.visitmix.com. So if you're not there, definitely tune in to all the action. And there's also another really cool contest that's new to Mix this year. This is carried over from PDC 05. This is called Show Off. And so if you're going to Mix, definitely look at the website to find information about Show Off. The idea is that this is kind of a movie theater style setting where you can watch and show off your own applications you might be building. Maybe you've got, some cool 3D renderings that you've made, anything really that's cool and somehow related to Microsoft technologies. And you can show this off in front of everyone, and there's prizes and things like that.
The important thing to keep in mind here is I'll go home and I'll show something off to my wife and I'll say, look what I did here. And she's not going to care.
Right.
She's not going to get what it took to build that thing. You're going to be at an environment where the people around you are going to be dealing with the same problems you had to deal with, and they had to solve the same kind of issues. They're going to like that. I mean, you're going to be a rock star if you get up there and show off something that people have tried to do themselves. So
exactly.
I really recommend people get involved with that because it's super cool.
Yeah, and the PDC 05 had some really cool applications. So you can actually go check all of those out online. I think all the videos are posted now on Channel 9. So check that out. And that just about concludes it. Another episode of This Week on Channel 9. Thanks, Ed, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for watching.
Some people like to drive their cars fast, not me, man. I drive through San Francisco in first gear. Let the ladies see me in my ride. That's right.
Check 1-2. Dan Fernandez is screwing around down at the Game Developers Conference. Check 1-2.
Boondoggle. Way to adjust the audio.